I don't know about you all. We have been studying these wonderful heroes of the faith from the Old Testament. And I think they're amazing. I think they're wonderful. I want to be like one of them. I want to be a hero for God. How can I do that? How does it come about? How does one become a mighty warrior for God? It starts with a mask, doesn't it? You got to get the right mask. I couldn't do this for the children's sermon, by the way. I couldn't because I know my son would have gone, "Hey, that's mine. I just got that for my birthday. Give it back, Dad." I thought I'd wear it for you guys, but no, it doesn't start with a mask, but where do we start? And what I wanted to do was get very practical today because, hey, we've been studying wonderful heroes of the faith, Abraham, and Joseph, and Moses, and Tamar, yes, Tamar. And we've been studying these amazing stories. But, you know, if we walk out of here and just say, gosh, good sermon. Neat person. Wow, that Moses. I could never do that. No, I think we missed the point. The things that I say from behind the pulpit or even the things that we study in the Sunday school classrooms or at home in our Bibles, if it doesn't get in us and then all of a sudden become practical to where, and applicable to where we start living it out, then this is pretty much for naught. So I wanted to kind of take a pause here in this sermon series on heroes and then go into what it means for us to get into what I'm calling hero training. Because that's exactly what the Bible is calling us to, is to build ourselves up so that the body might be of Christ might be built up. And so in that passage Don was just reading, the Apostle Paul saying, this is the purpose. This is what it's about. In fact, you know, some of the heroes of the faith, those who were, you know, the mighty men and women of God, the apostles and the evangelists and the prophets and the teachers and the pastors, and said their job is not to do the ministry, except that the ministry is to equip, to prepare and equip the people of the church for works of service. Many of you maybe, I don't know if you're getting tired of me saying that, but I have said it over and over again that my job as pastor is not primarily to do the ministry here at the church. I'm not the hired gun. My job is to train you all up to do the ministry. And that's my purpose, is to help establish in you the kind of maturity in Christ that Paul was talking about in that Ephesians passage. What does that maturity look like? Well, it's a personal growth, personal development in the faith and in the various aspects of the faith. And so there are, to develop that, there's certain spiritual disciplines. Disciplines, oh, I don't like that word. And yet, discipline, not in any kind of a punishment or a corrective measure, but the kind of habits, personal habits, that routines that we can develop that little by little start to grow and develop a robust faith, a living faith, a vibrant faith, and a flourishing of God's work in our hearts and in our lives. So, you know, some people would say, well, you know, the evidence of that kind of robust godliness, what would it be like? Well, you know, somebody who speaks in tongues or can interpret those tongues, or somebody can do miracles. Maybe it could get to that. But for me, at the core of everything, when I would see maturity, just that vibrant maturity in somebody, it comes right back to Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And so it is really the Holy Spirit so in that person and having been worked and molding and transforming that person to all of a sudden what is coming out of that person, but deep from the inside, is love. I mean, just they are loving and joy. They're just, there's this radiance about them. They're always smiling. It's just, you know, this peace. All hell can be breaking loose around them, and they're calm. And patience. It's patient by nature, and gentleness, and goodness, and faithfulness. You see that in their marriage, and, you know, in their relationships. And gentleness. There's a gentleness about them. They can even be a person of authority. They can be a CEO, and yet there's this gentleness without abdicating their authority, and self-control. Self-control. Their lives are not given to these extremes and yeah. That is the, who wouldn't want that here? I mean, who among us wouldn't want that to be in our hearts and in our homes? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What a blessed home that would be. Blessed would be the children growing up in a home like that. Wow. Who wouldn't want that? Well, here's the deal. Honestly, it doesn't come easy. It doesn't. I mean, there are certain disciplines, certain habits, certain routines that we need to develop so that God is getting more inside of me, so that the Spirit can start to flourish in me. It's why they even say that one of the seven deadly sins is sloth. Sloth is laziness. We can't be lazy about this. We have to have him develop these habits. So what does this look like? I developed some kind of pictures, very rudimentary pictures. You can tell one of my gifts is not art, but anyways, Josh, if you can help me out here. So, all right, personal growth and development. And here, from the text that Don was just reading, I mean, the goal is to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so personal growth and development, we start, yeah, little stick figures, and honestly, that's apropos. We do start stick figures, insignificant. But the goal being, and you can see by the dotted lines, it's this growth, and it's a growth that leads to even holiness. You can almost see it's almost like an angel-like development, but it's this growth in strength and fullness and maturity. That's the beauty. That's the goal of what we do and what we do here at church and what we do as Christians, as individual Christians. And so next slide. Now shrink down that little person and the growth. And basically, if you can, I'm sure you can't read all these things that I've written here, but it's the same personal growth and development, the goal to become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Ooh, get into that. Ooh, just sit with that. That's what I want, God. Please, may I develop that kind of maturity, wow, to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Me? Wow, that would be awesome. All right, well, in your sermon notes, basically, in each of the points, that's what I've written here, because that's what's going to feed into this growth. So as you go into your sermon notes, it starts with a life of prayer. And we need to develop that life of prayer. In the scripture, one of the key texts, that Ephesians 6:18, Paul tells us to pray in the Spirit. Pray in. We connect with God's Spirit as we pray. I mean, it's truly, I mean, I'm not just praying in the air, but I'm actually connecting powerfully with God. We connect. And as I pray, I mean, it's this amazing, all of a sudden, life of conversation with Paul that develops. A pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And so Paul, later on, he even says it more succinctly. He just says, pray always. Or pray continually, says in 1 Thessalonians 5. Just, I mean, it's constant. It's constant, my life. This conversation, this dialogue with God is just constant. That's the goal. I mean, how many of us are there yet? Still feel like the stick figure. Yeah, but that's the goal, okay? And then, so prayer, and then if you're going through your sermon notes and want to fill in the blanks, point B is God's Word. God's Word. And I need to develop goal. I mean, high, set the bar high. I need to develop just a mastery to where I know this Word. I know this Bible. And really, I've, to the point, high goal being, I've read it so many times over these years. And it's not just in my mind, it's in my heart. In fact, some of those key verses that just, ooh, when I see a key verse, I underline it. I mean, it's a well-marked Bible. It just, and I've committed those verses to memory, and I got dozens now of verses memorized, and sometimes I just meditate. I come to a red light, it doesn't bother me. I'm in a hurry. It's okay, calm down. Hey, I'm going to meditate on that verse that I was working on this morning. You know, just, yeah, getting God's Word in me, and as I get God's Word in me, trust me. Oh, the growth, the expansive growth, the powerful growth that happens. And then worship, point C. And so worship leads me into that growth. And it says, Jesus said, John 4:24, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. There is a spirit again. We're supposed to pray in the spirit. We're supposed to worship in spirit and truth. Yeah, it's truly connecting with God. As you come into worship, I mean, when you start to develop that maturity, you step through, you step across the threshold, you step in the worship, there's this sense of anticipation. What is God going to say or speak into my heart? And it's a sense of, oh, I get an opportunity to just let it out and worship God. Well, some of those worship songs this morning, were any of you feeling like I was? I had tears coming down my face on that third one. Wow. And just, oh, it just was bursting out of my heart, this worship and praise for this God who is so precious to me. Connecting with this, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Yeah, worship. And worship develops that faith. And then point D, it's our witness. Our witness. And so this whole faith thing, it gets to the point of, well, you know, how is it witness or fellowship? Yeah, fellowship's after that. Okay, how do I talk with people who aren't Christians? What about atheists and agnostic? What about I'm working with a Hindu now? And you know, and Christ. I mean, my love for Christ is growing. How do I witness? This is one of those churchese kind of words. Kind of, you know, what does that mean? It's how I tell my story at the end of the day. My story of my relationship with Jesus and how somebody can have a relationship with Jesus, a saving relationship with Jesus, where he can save us from our sins, cleanse us from our sins, and eternal life can be ours. Just how do I do that? Oh, getting to a point where I become ninja-like, adroit in being able to hook somebody, something I say intentionally, hook somebody so that I can, they ask a question and respond, oh, yeah, let me tell you about my story. And I was telling the Sunday school class, there is no greater joy you will have as a Christian than when you have that privilege, when God gives you the opportunity to lead somebody to Christ, to literally help them cross over and make that decision that Jesus would be their Lord and Savior. And get that assurance that they now have been transferred body and soul into Christ's kingdom. Eternal life and all the promises of God are theirs. And you had the privilege, God allowed you and used you to help them cross that line. It's just, oh, the joy is just amazing. As we develop those skills for witness and sharing our story. And then fellowship. Oh, Christian fellowship can be so sweet. Oh, and some of, honestly, guys, I don't mean to make you feel bad, but ooh, did we have some amazing fellowship this weekend there at the men's retreat. And You know, the three guys that came in, Steve Haynes, the speaker, and I bragged about him and told you guys about him. Some of his stories are amazing. I mean, if you ever, you know, have a chance to, you know, get to meet Colin Powell and, you know, you got to plan a dinner for Colin Powell, advice from Steve Haynes, serve him hot dogs. Colin Powell loves hot dogs. So, you know, Colin Powell, real good, one of the best friends of Steve Haynes, you know, and the story about how they came out of this White House gale and everything, and he and his date, first date for this woman and everything, and there's a blizzard coming, and all of a sudden, you know, how are we going to get to our car? It's five blocks away, and all of a sudden, George Bush Sr. walks out and says, hey, where are you guys parked? Five blocks away? Come on, hop in our car. We'll take you there. You know, cool stories. And then, as a bonus icing on the cake, he brings two of his friends, phenomenal guys, navigators, and one of the guys, Ray Hildebrand. Anybody ever heard of Ray Hildebrand? All right, no, all right. Ray Hildebrand, back in 1962, had the gold record hit, Hey Paula. Remember Hey Paula? Anyway, Paul and everything. He was signing autographs. It was hilarious. Signing autographs on this 8.5 by 11 picture of him and the Beatles. Back in 1963, I think it was, he and that Paula, you know, his sidekick, went off to England, and he said, yeah, here this other guy in the picture, he was the director of kind of the American Bandstand there in the UK, and he was very famous, and he said, as we walked in the room, and everything happened so fast, he said, we walked in the room, and all of a sudden the guy said, oh, Paul and Paula here. Hey, Beatles, I'm sorry, but you're not singing today. We've got Paul and Paula, because the Beatles were just this upstart little band, you know, and they yell back, all right, that's all right. He says, hey, come on out for a photo op with Paul and Paula. And so here was this picture of them with him with the young Beatles. And he signed the autograph. This was so cool. And he spent Friday night about 45 minutes ministering to us in music. The guy's a hoot. He's 76 years old, and he's just, oh, the sweetest guy. The fellowship we had was just so sweet. And when you get an opportunity, and I hope it's happening all the time here, and I know it is for many of us, but you get the person who really has that maturity of Christ, who really has the fruit of the Spirit just welling over, I mean, spilling over, welling up inside of them, and the love, the joy, and the peace. I mean, it is so sweet, that fellowship, that time together. In fact, you know, Steve, I've known for a couple years now, but these other two guys, they were new to me. Oh, man, I mean, when you get somebody who's just dripping with the fruit of the Spirit, it's just this instant connection, this instant bond. I didn't even want to say goodbye to them this morning. I got here late at the church because I just couldn't break myself away. It's just the sweetest fellowship. But then, of course, we know there's those things that just are like viral or viruses to the fellowship. Oh, the gossip. Oh, the critical comments. Oh, wow, that look. Oh, man. You know, fellowship, sweet Christian fellowship, there's nothing like it. And that fellowship, how it just feeds our soul and builds us up. And then point F, fill in the blank with love. Love in action. Love in action. Just so, you know, Paul sums up the whole Christian faith in Galatians 5:6, the last part of Galatians 5:6. He says the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. As faith and love come together, and then just faith expressing itself in love, that's when it gets good. And as we get into that love and are doing the love, the things out of that love, it just keeps building on ourselves, snowballing, and what's happening inside is I go to give away love, and I walk away, and I just gave some away. How is it that it's like multiplied in my heart, and now I got more? It's the most beautiful thing. This is how it works. So, what area or areas do you need to be working on and building yourself up in? The prayer? Are you connecting with God? Praying in the Spirit. Word, God's Word. Are you getting into your Bible devotionally, daily? But really getting into His Word. Fellowship. Witness. Do you even know how to tell your story? Does that freak you out about the idea of telling your story? Of worship. Love in action. But these are the areas that will help build us up. And here's the cool thing. As we get built up, now, Josh, can you give me that third slide? As we get built up, we start living into, and this is our church's identity, mission, and vision statements. So you'll recognize that our identity comes from that Galatians 5:6 passage. Elam coming to church where faith and love intersect to develop a thriving community. As our faith and love start intersecting and leading into it, and it's the fuel for everything we do, we start developing into a thriving community. Our mission is to develop Christian leaders who will impact the world for Christ. So as we develop Christian leaders, people of influence, we're developing from stick figures these mature Christian believers who then go on and become God's candidates for heroic kind of work. I've been insisting throughout the series, God is looking for new heroes today. And our vision, the kingdom of God reigning over the Quad Cities, how we accomplish that. And so it's worship, lifting high God's glory, digging deep into God's word, that arrow that goes down, building up God's people. That's what we do here inside the church walls, and some of it spills over to the outside. And then reaching out with God's love out into our community, and there's the arrows coming together, faith and love intersecting. And so I just kind of get the visual. And then the next slide, if we will do that, well, how we do that, oh, sorry, I guess I forgot I did have that slide. Oh, I've got all kinds of examples of outreach and how we'll do outreach and worship and what we're going to do in worship and fellowship, what it looks like, you know, and what we're already doing. So, you know, the trivia night and block party and chocolate fantasies and splash and men's breakfast. And then, anyway, too much TMI, I know. Next slide. What's going to happen? Paul talks about so that the body of Christ might be built up. So the solid lines represent what Elam Covenant Church looks like now. On this little rectangle leadership, this short little square or rectangle down at the bottom, on the basis of the leadership we have, and we've grown Elam Covenant Church, and we sustain Elam Covenant Church on this leadership. But tell you what, our leadership right now, even numerically, is a little thin, so that we're having a tough time even trying to fill the spots for our board for 2017. We need to develop leaders. We need to develop from stick figures and do this more and more, because if we can focus actually downward, what I mean is developing and expanding our leadership, so you can see the arrows and the dotted lines down. What if, as we expand out in numeric growth of leaders, but down in profundity, I think that's a word. I got that right? In depth, so it's not just quantitative, but qualitative. All of a sudden, from that plethora, that pool, great pool of leadership, we can support and sustain an even larger church. And I just think organically, the church will grow. It will be built up both numerically and so both quantitatively and qualitatively. We will be fulfilling God's purpose for us. It's all biblical. This is what we're about here at Elam Covenant Church. So if you're kind of new to Elam Covenant Church, and what is this church about? It's basically that. I mean, we're trying to build up the body of Christ, but we're focusing on developing Christian leaders who will impact the world for Christ. So we're leaders? Wait, what do you mean leaders? I'm not a leader, a candidate, quality. I'm more introverted. No, but leaders, people of influence. Leadership is influence. And so people who, even as introverts, through their prayers, who they're connecting with the Spirit, boy, are their prayers powerful and effective. And I mean the impact, it's massive. I mean, we're talking people being healed of cancer. We're talking people that were just hellions that are being saved. And it started with that person's prayers. People of impact. That's what we want. Are you game? Are you open to this? Does this freak you out? Huh? Who? Me? Huh? Again, I just go back to the fruit. Who wouldn't want the fruit of the Spirit flourishing and abounding, growing? If you will focus on these disciplines, prayer and worship, the Word of God, developing these, fellowship, developing rich sweet fellowship with Christian brothers, our witness to others, and then love in action. I'll tell you what, the growth in you will be, and it very well can be, and will be extraordinary. And then it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, I've said this many times lately, but the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. God will see you as you're doing this work, growing, growing. And if he catches sight of you as his eyes are moving to and fro throughout the earth, he just, this one, I'm going to strongly support. Think of that. What would that look like? God fastening his eyes on you and going, angels, angels, strong support directed right there. Would that be cool? That's what God wants for you. Don't listen to any lies. What couldn't happen to me? Not me. I'm too insignificant. Nah! That's what God wants for you. This word is filled with promises, and you can claim every single one of those promises. Just open your heart to God and watch him do it. So I left some questions for reflection there at the bottom of your sermon notes. My time is up. Some of you are saying, yeah, you've gone over time. Yeah, probably. Sorry. I get excited about this. I just can't stop.